Let us pray. Almighty God, truly to know you is everlasting life. Grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Bob and Stanley were great buddies who both deeply enjoyed the game of baseball. And one day at a ball game, they made a vow to each other that whichever friend died first, that friend would send a message back to Earth to let the other friend know if there was baseball in heaven. Sure enough, one day Bob died. After a while, he sent a message to Stanley. Hey, Stan, this is your old baseball buddy, Bob. I have good news and I have bad news for you from heaven. Stanley thought about it for a moment and said, All right, let's go with the good news. Bob responded, Well, the good news is that there is a ton of baseball going on in heaven. Some of the greats are even here and they are hitting home runs a mile long. Smiling, Stanley said, Wow, okay, what about the bad news? Oh, there was a long pause, but Bob finally replied, The bad news is you are scheduled to pitch up here tomorrow night. People love to talk about heaven. You can find a multitude of books, videos, teachings, poetry, and music all about it. But in Christianity, there can be such an emphasis on arriving at the destination that many fail at keeping the main thing the main thing. The main thing is obviously Jesus. The main thing is a person and not a place. It's a relationship and not a destination. But think about this. How many times have we heard sermons, talks, and conversations elevate heaven as if the place and destination were the primary focus? In our gospel passage this morning, we have the imagery of the Father's house. What should our hearts cry out first and foremost when we hear this? Is it the tender embrace of a loving Father and a shared life with Him forever? Or is it rather about the splendor of His house? In my experience, I frequently hear Christians talk about the longing for the house rather than the Father's love and the shared life. No doubt their imaginations have been shaped by the consumerism of Western culture. But this imagery of the Father's house also implies being brought into the household of God, the family of God, indeed the very life of God. Houses are for families. The big picture here is that we will have a shared life with God for all of eternity. But how does one find their way into this shared life? In other words, how do we come to the Father's house? When I was in college, we had to take 6 hours of theology classes. And there was this one out there professor who stated that all roads get to Houston, it's just that some get there faster and better than others. He said this because he believed and taught that all religions get you to where you need to get to and lead you to the same place. But this is not what Christians believe. There is only one way to the Father and the Father's house. And with this professor's all roads lead to Houston illustration, there is obviously a big breakdown in real everyday life. For how many times have I tried at attempting to get to Houston and countless roads were either shut down to accidents, flooding, or construction, and I couldn't get there. And if I'm being completely blunt, Houston is not my idea of heaven either. It kind of feels like, to me, that other place, doesn't it? No. There is only one way to the Father. Only one way. It is through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us peek in and listen to Jesus' words regarding him as the only way to the Father and to the Father's house. If you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at John chapter 14, verse 1. Found on page 648. Our passage begins with Jesus giving the disciples a command not to let their hearts be troubled. Now, why would their hearts be so distressed and disturbed to begin with? Well, Jesus has just predicted his betrayal by Judas. He has just predicted Peter's denial, and he has just told them that he's going away and that they can't go where he's going. This would be a lot to take in. Don't let your hearts be troubled, Jesus says. So what is the remedy for a troubled heart? It is trust in the Father and the Son. It is trust in the Father and the Son. And this trust implies knowing the perfect love by which we are loved. A perfect love that casts out fear. This kind of faith that worketh love is not just to be placed in God the Father, but God the Son. So this union between the Father and the Son is a very big, big deal in our passage this morning. The shared life between the Father and the Son is vitally important for us, as we shall see. So Jesus is returning to the Father, and he encourages these disciples with troubled hearts by saying, there is more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? In other words, I'm going to make preparations for you. I will come back for you, that where I am, you will also be. And then Jesus makes a bold statement. And you know the way to where I am going. Yet here comes an objection by Thomas. God bless him. We have no idea where you are going. So how can we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Of course, in our day and age, this makes people uncomfortable. This makes people squirm. This makes people downright angry. How ungenerous. People don't want only one way to the Father. They'd rather believe in a plethora of ways. The rocker Sheryl Crow, in a New York Post interview, said, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus and Buddha and Muhammad and all those that were enlightened. I wouldn't say necessarily that I'm a strict Christian. I'm not sure I believe in heaven. This sounds like so many souls today in our culture. They believe in everything and nothing altogether. They believe in everything and nothing altogether. What would Jesus say to this? He'd say just what he told the disciples. I am the one and only way to the Father. Believe in me. Believe in me. Jesus is the way because he is truth. He reveals the truth and he leads us in the truth. There is no deceit or falsehood in him. Jesus is the way because he is life. And his perfect life he freely gave for the life of the world on the hardwood of the cross. The way is truth and life. The way is the one and only way to the Father. No one comes to the Father or the Father's house except through him. But then Jesus says that his disciples know and have seen the Father. This, my friends, is radical. This is astounding news. This is altogether wondrous. When Jesus turns water into wine at the wedding at Cana in John 2, we see the generosity of the Father, revealing the grace of transformation and the abundance of new creation life that he will bestow upon all those who are his. When Jesus is with the woman at the well in John 4, we see the patience and the tenderness of the Father. When Jesus feeds the 5,000 in John 6, we see the provision of the Father. When Jesus forgives the woman caught in adultery in John 8, we see the forgiveness of the Father. When Jesus heals the man born blind in John 9, we see the power of the Father. When Jesus weeps over the loss of Lazarus in John 11, we see that even the Father grieves over his dear ones when they die, as it is written in the Psalms. When Jesus washes the disciples' feet in John 13, we see the humble service of the Father. Jesus tells Thomas in our passage today, if you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. But here we have another objection, another injection in the conversation. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. What does Jesus say to Philip in response? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And then Jesus presses into this shared life of union with the Father. He says, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. There is only one way to the Father and the Father's house. Jesus, he is the way. Only him. And we, you and I, participate in this shared life. Get this. By faith, Jesus is in us and we are in him. Jesus is in us and we are in him. We say this every week in our Eucharistic liturgy. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? And if Jesus is in us and we are in him, we know that our life is in Christ and is hidden in God. Because that is what Scripture reveals to us in Colossians 3, verses 3 to 4. So in and because of Jesus, we are taken up into the life of God. You see, no one comes to the Father except through the Son. There is only one way to the Father. Again, I ask, when you think about heaven, what first and foremost comes to your mind? Is it the splendor of our Father's house? Or is it the shared life with the Father? Because we have access in and through the Son. There is only one way to the Father, but the world can't stand this. The world will attempt at trying to dethrone Jesus by saying he's just a way and not the only way. N.T. Wright comments, the belief that all religions are really the same sounds nice and democratic. Though the study of religions quickly shows that it isn't true. What you are really saying, if you claim that they're all the same, is that none of them are more than distinct echoes, distorted images of reality. You're saying that reality, God, the divine, is remote and unknowable, and that neither Jesus nor Buddha nor Moses and Krishna gives us direct access to it. They all provide a way towards the foothills of the mountain, not the way to the summit. Jesus is not a way. He's not one of many ways. He is the one and only way. Amen?
Amen.
But the world shakes its fist in fury, raging against this truth, saying that this statement is hatred. Yet as the song Creed affirms, it is the very truth of God, not the invention of any man. Jesus' very name means God saves, or God to the rescue, or the Lord is my salvation. This is why we call him the Savior. His very name means hope, not hatred. But if someone says his name in public in a way other than a cuss word, just wait and watch for the fireworks. This name is like a tiny detonator that triggers a nuclear warhead. Boom! You can say God and you won't get as much as a squeak. You can say Great Spirit and some people will nod in approval. You can say Allah and you'll be deemed tolerant. But mention the name Jesus and watch the sonic boom. You mustn't say that name in the way that you've said it. You mustn't say that name. Jesus is divisive, and now is a time for unity. Jesus is exclusive, so his name amounts to hate speech. But there are some big, big problems with all these reactions. Jesus is God, and he alone brings salvation. He is the only way to the Father and the Father's house. So how can we not speak his name? How can we not pray in his name? How can we not sing his praises? We are in Him, and He is in the Father. And He is preparing a room for you and for me. But we are not at our Father's house just yet. And no servant is greater than their master. The service and ministry we do is rooted in and cannot be divorced from the work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But God has sent us into the world to proclaim that Jesus is the one and only way to the Father. And He has not sent us out alone either. We have the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. We, mere humans, have become living temples where the power of the Lord Jesus has taken up residence. The Spirit's presence is testimony that we do have union with God. So we are never, ever alone, even when we think we are. And God is so very gracious and generous to us, we also have each other, brothers and sisters in the family of God. And Jesus tells us that we can ask for anything in His name, and it will be done. Anything. But many Christians attempt at using this as some kind of magical formula. They think, if I just pray for anything in Jesus' name, however selfish, it's going to happen. A snap of the fingers. But having union with Jesus means that we pray His agenda. His agenda. And we know the Lord's will is that all will be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, who is the one and only way. The Lord keeps calling out to the lost, for that is why He came. So this gives us hope for those we know and for those we love who need to enter in and receive the life that only Jesus brings. We pray in the name of Jesus for spouses who don't yet know the Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus for children who don't yet know the Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus for parents who don't yet know the Lord. We pray for friends, for co-workers, for our neighbors, for our city, for our state, for our country, indeed the entire world. We pray for God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. And as we're praying for all these things, we also proclaim in word and deed that Jesus Christ is the one and only way to the Father. That only in Jesus Christ is there a life-giving union that leads us from this world to our Father and His household. And we do this in humility and sacrifice, not in haughtiness or arrogance. We do this in compassion and love. We want people to come to the Father, to come to the Father's house, participating in this life-giving union we only have through Jesus. This union is eternal life. To know the Father and the Son is life eternal. A lot of Christians, when they think about heaven, they focus on being reunited with loved ones who have gone to sleep in the Lord. They imagine the culture of heaven, the music, the arts, the scenery, the food. They envision their room that Jesus has prepared for them. All these things are worthwhile to dwell upon, and we should all give thought to them often. But eternal life is far bigger than a destination, although the final destination of a new heaven and a new earth will not disappoint. Maybe people will be hitting home runs that go on for miles. Who knows? Yet eternal life is being brought into the life of God. Jesus and the Father have a shared life. And only through Jesus do we participate in this shared life. Only through Jesus do we come to the Father and the Father's house. He is the way, the one and only way. And the life we share, the life we have in Him and because of Him, is the greatest gift that we will ever know. It is a gift that will never lose its joy. It is a gift that cannot be broken. It is a gift that cannot be lost. It is an eternal gift of a shared life with the Father. In the Father's house. The gate, however, and the door to this house is none other than Jesus. He is the one and only way to the Father. Let us pray. Lord of all life and power, who through the mighty resurrection of your Son overcame the old order of sin and death, to make all things new in him, grant that we, being dead to sin and alive to you, in Jesus Christ, may reign with him in glory, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be praise and honor, glory and might, now and in all eternity. Amen.